So if you have been with us for a couple of weeks, you know we've been talking a little bit about our core values here. And even if you're visiting with us, we're going to talk a little bit about discipleship today, which really applies to everyone. But we've been talking about core values so that we can own who we are as a church community. And these are things that are not a list that we've made up and say we want to be about this. These are things that we've said, no, these are things we already hold dear, but we just need to express them and put them on paper and talk about them so that we can live into the very best of who we already are. And so, but just quickly, want to make sure, and I know it's for some of you, it sounds like, oh, we keep repeating some of this stuff, but it's really to help this stuff sink in. So I want to talk just for a second about where we've been. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about the importance of Christ-centered community, where this time of worship is all about how we draw close to God to experience the love of God in worship. Now, along with Christ-centered community, worship is fellowship, and that's more than just community. Fellowship is an investment in one another so that as we participate in the life of the church, we give a little and other people give a little bit, and sometimes we take a little and other people take. So it's a give and take investment in one another so that we are close. So fellowship is so important, and about what we do and what we put in is what we get out of it. So it takes both give and take to make this happen. And then last week I talked a little bit about hospitality. And hospitality is about treating people like they are family, even though they might be strangers to us, and making them feel at home. You know the old line from Spanish language, mi casa es su casa. My house is your house. And I would tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the thing that our world is lacking, is the notion of hospitality, of treating the stranger like family. Instead, we have seen in this past week, especially last Sunday, polarization, separation, which leads to violence. But here at Bethel, we've said that hospitality is extended to everyone, whether they are here on campus on Sunday or we take hospitality out the doors with us throughout the week. And I would say because it is our core value in terms of polarization and separation and violence, let me tell you, not here, not now, not ever. That is not who we are as a church. We value welcoming those who might be different than us because we are reminded that we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. So we move really to the heart of where we're going to talk about today, spiritual growth and discipleship. And you all told me last year that having a growing relationship with God is important to who we are as a congregation. Like all of our other core values, if we engage in this, we will grow in faith. Even the ones I haven't even talked about yet in the next couple of weeks. But I also said this, that all of our core values really go back to reflect one thing. Whether it is hospitality, whether it is Christ-centered community, or even today in discipleship, it all comes back to the fact that it'll help us to love God and be loved by God, to love others and to be loved. And in the mix of that, we are also sharing Jesus with each other, which helps build us up, but also with others outside of church. And so that is the aim of all things. But sometimes when we talk about discipleship, when we talk about spiritual maturity, when we talk about spiritual growth, people sometimes miss the point. And here's what it is. Some people think that the ultimate goal of spiritual growth is knowledge. But ultimately, knowledge happens, but it's a byproduct of growth. And Paul, St. Paul, guy in the Bible, was the very first church planter ever. He went around and started churches, and then he wrote this letter to a church that he started in Corinth, and he says this amazing thing about knowledge. Now, before I tell you what he says, it's really interesting that he says it because he is like the smartest guy in every room he ever entered. He was Mr. Knowledge, Pastor Knowledge, Saint Knowledge. I mean, this guy had it all over everyone. And yet, when it comes to knowledge, he wrote this. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Now, that's really important coming from the guy who's always the smartest person in the room. You would think a guy like that would be advocating knowledge. You know, memorize your Bible, and you got to get smarter, you got to learn stuff, but he doesn't at all. He says love is the most important thing. And he goes even farther than this. In the very next verse, he says this. The person who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. In other words, he's saying, if there's any person who thinks that they're smart and wants to tell you how it is because they're so smart, he says they don't actually get it at all. I mean, you know the type of people I'm talking about. The one who has opinions on everything. The one who never hesitates to tell you what is right, what is wrong, what is black and what is white. And Paul, the smartest guy in the room, says they don't get it. They don't know the most important thing. And so to remind us, he bookends this by saying the person who loves God is known by God. So it's not about knowledge so much as it is about love within the context of a relationship. See, knowing everything about a person is different than loving them. Knowledge is a byproduct of spiritual growth. It's not a bad thing, but it's not the aim. It's about drawing close to God and to one another. And since all of our core values relate to drawing close to God, let's kind of narrow down what spiritual growth or discipleship looks like. It relates to the practices and habits of learning. Going to classes, adult ed, you know, so Wednesday night classes, or having a time of devotion, praying, reading scripture, getting one of our daily devotionals that sit out back in the welcome zone back there that we put out every quarter, listening to podcasts, listening to, God forbid, other preachers online, you know, I mean, whatever it takes. But it's about taking the time to engage in habits that will cause you to grow closer to God. And like I said, all of our core values will do that. But this is about an investment of time. Because the only thing that you need to do that is to make the time of your life. I mean, you know, I would love, besides just having the time, if God would just wave a magic wand and make me smarter, draw me closer to Him, and then boom, it's done, and it's automatic, it's like a little miracle, and I don't have to worry about making time because God just does it for me. But discipleship is about taking the time to be transformed, to be changed. And honestly, maturity, spiritual maturity, is baby steps. As much as we'd like a St. Paul moment where he's knocked off a horse and blinded, and Jesus says, stop persecuting me and my church and follow me, and he's like, yes, Lord, and it's done, and he's like, whoa. Most spiritual growth is baby steps, day by day. And that takes work, and it takes time. I mean, it's kind of like this. If I offer a free seminar, and 50 people sign up, but on the day of the seminar, only 30 people actually show up. Why does that happen? Because there's no investment. Hold that same seminar and charge $10. Everyone who signs up and pays comes. Why? Because they got skin in the game. They've invested to come to that class. To have a personal stake. In this case, it was, you know, the fee. Now, I'm not saying we're going to charge for adult ed. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the fact is, we have to invest in ourselves in spiritual growth if it's going to come to pass. We have to have skin in the game. God wants us to be invested in growing closer to Him, and He isn't charging a thing, but He wants us to commit some of our time to that growth. I mean, it applies to anything in life, really. If you want something good or better, you got to invest a little bit. For example, cooking from scratch using fresh ingredients always beats the frozen dinner. I mean, I know that one in the lower corner looks pretty good, I know. They're both chicken dinners, by the way. You might not be able to tell that, but using fresh ingredients and cooking from scratch is usually better than the frozen dinner. To be in good health means that you have to make good, healthy food choices and sometimes exercise. And in terms of staying fit, you can't just like get a bike and use it once and say, okay, I'm in shape now. You know, I did it once and that's all it took. It takes a commitment of time and energy. And the same is true when it comes to spiritual growth. It takes a little bit of work. I mean, even Jesus gives us a litmus test to see if we're spiritually mature. And we heard Robin read this just a little bit ago. Here's an image, but let me read it to you. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit." And I like each donut box is known by its donuts, right? I mean, but it's a metaphor. It's not about trees. It's about people. And he's saying that you can tell a lot about a person by the way they treat others and the things that they say. In other words, if there's a person who's always negative, but they're nice to you, you might want to watch out because that's not consistent with the rest of their behavior. And the opposite is true, too. And a person is always kind, always generous, and then they get upset at a moment. Don't judge them on the one bad moment. We are told to look at the entire crop and not just an isolated piece of fruit. By the way, that apple on the end looks like that one I showed the kids a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. But that's just how we view others. How about ourselves? Listen to this. The good person brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil person brings things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Spiritual growth is all about what we are storing up in our hearts. You know, and it's true in anything in life. Like, for example, if you want to retire someday, you have to be putting away some money each and every month so eventually, hopefully, you can retire. Or in places where there's actual winter, squirrels store away things all summer long so that when winter hits, they go dig those things up. And believe me, in our lifetime, Rachel and I have seen that. We've seen squirrels kind of bury things all summer long, and they come back and dig them out. And the same is true for spiritual growth, is that if we want to kind of store up God's love in our hearts, we have to start reading or participating in things today. So we put a little away each and every week so that when there are tough times, when there is a spiritual winter in your life, you have a store of God's love ready to be used. So in other words, it's about feeding your soul today so that when the hard times come, you're able to draw from that. Now, here's the deal. I get it. This may not sound like good news at all. But here's what I'll tell you. Everything I just said is optional. You don't have to do it. You can do what you want. This isn't about going to heaven. This isn't about receiving Jesus as your Lord. This is about growth. And growth and discipleship is optional. But here's the thing. If you want to be able to navigate through the hard times in your life, it goes much better, I'm not saying easier, but better if you've been storing up God's word, God's love in your heart, so when that time comes, you can kind of make a withdrawal and use it. I mean, there's been a lot of ruckus this week on Facebook. A lot of ruckus. I don't know if you're on there or not. Some of you are, some of you aren't. But over what's happened in Orlando, radicalization, weapons, every little thing has been on Facebook this week. And those are the times, whether it's a national problem that we're talking about here or a thing that's happened, or it's a personal thing, this is the time when spiritual maturity is useful. That if you've taken time to store up a portion of God's love in your heart, this is the time where you would actually use that and exercise it. Instead of lashing out and, you know, just typing your brains out and giving your opinion on what's going on and why. It's the time to lead with love, even when we don't feel it. It's time to lead with love. And not to show malice towards a group or, quote unquote, those people. It's time to lead with love. Even if that love doesn't come back to you, even if people unfriend you, we lead with love because Jesus always led with love, and that's what spiritual maturity does. I mean, I talked to a young man who I've known for several years on Facebook this week, and he was all about guns and protecting the American way of life and all this, you know, crazy stuff as a Christian. And I'm like, I was told him, I'm like, look, you can do what you want and say what you want, but if you're going to identify as a Christian, you need to know that Jesus Christ never retaliated or ever used revenge as a part of his language. After the resurrection, he didn't come back and hunt down the chief priests and the Pharisees like a Terminator movie and say, I'm back. He just didn't do that. And when he was from the cross, what did he do? He led with love by forgiving those who were doing it. The Son of God, who is all powerful, he didn't seek revenge or retribution. He just continued to love. So if we spend the time a little bit each week storing up that love through spiritual growth, when those winter of ugly times comes, you're prepared to weather the storm. Whether it's podcasts from your phone or online, you read Christian books, read devotionals, read the Bible, however that is for you, that's fine. But it's about filling your heart with love and not knowledge so that you can draw close to Jesus. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this movie. Am I right? Most of you know The Wizard of Oz to some degree. True story, by the way. No, I'm kidding. It's not. It's all about this girl who gets caught in a tornado in Kansas and ends up in this land of Oz, and she wants to make her way back home. And along the way of trying to find her way back home, she finds three unlikely friends, a scarecrow, a lion, and a tin man, and they find out that this Wizard of Oz can fix all of their problems because they all have their own personal issues. She wants to go home. The scarecrow wants a brain. The cowardly lion wants courage, and the tin man wants a heart. And they said, okay, we'll band together. We'll find the Wizard of Oz, and he'll help all of us. And lots of trouble to get to Oz, but they finally get to him. And at the end of the movie, you know, which is like, I don't know, like 8 hours long, it seems like. Let's get to Oz already, okay? He says, yeah, okay, I can fix your problems. And so the first thing is the lion, and he's like, I can fix the lion, you want courage. Everybody who has courage has one thing. They have a bravery medal. So he gives him a bravery medal, and all of a sudden he's brave. He has courage. Says to the Tin Man, oh, you want a heart? Oh, here you go. Gives him a big old metal heart with a chain, and he kind of hangs it like a watch. And all of a sudden, he has a heart, and he's full of emotion. And then the scarecrow, he wants a brain, so the wizard says to him, every person who has a brain has this one thing, and he hands him a diploma, and all of a sudden he's smart, and he starts, you know, spouting the Pythagorean theorem and all that kind of stuff, and Dorothy eventually goes home. I wish it worked that way in life. I wish it did. I wish I could have just had somebody hand me a diploma rather than the hours of studying and reading and writing papers. How I wished I could have a heart of compassion by just wearing some heart-shaped jewelry or putting a Jesus sticker on the back of my car and then I'll do it. It's done. How I wish I could be courageous if somebody just gave me a medal and it was done. Oh, look, I'm brave. In the real world, I've had to face my fears and work past it. I've had to read books to challenge my thinking and move me into new places of thinking and communicating. I've had to work at loving others more than myself and to have compassion on those who have no compassion towards me. Look, spiritual growth takes work. And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus loves you no matter what. Wherever you're at on your path, Jesus loves you. Even if you're not doing anything at all, he still loves you. But I hope that there's a desire or a drive to be more than what you are today. I mean, even if you've been on a journey of discipleship, that there's still a desire to go beyond. Because it's never too late to start growing or to grow more. Time and a will is all it takes. Amen.